coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. I am your host, as always, Coach Steve. On today's episode, guys, we are getting back to the program, talking about the wide receiver tiers, part two today. We did part one about a week ago from today, and we're getting back into the action after our Podathon this week. Podathon went over very well. A lot of great guests, raised a lot of great money, but it's now time to get back on to business. Let me introduce our squad. Coach Jibs, what's going on, brother?
Fly, Eagles, fly. On the road to victory. Oh, man, draft season's approaching, man. Like, check your leagues. Check when you're drafting. Like, sometimes the draft times move, and maybe get caught up in drafting three leagues in one day, like myself, and or kind of forget there's a draft going on next week. So
that's very important, that's for sure. Coach Sean, what's going on, brother?
Nothing much, man. Just another beautiful day to talk fantasy football.
Love it. I love it. I love it, guys. So let's get into it, guys. I got my tea today. I don't feel that well. So might have got stuck with the COVID jibs. I don't know.
So it was a banger.
It was a banger. But we got to continue the actual episode. So today, guys, like I said, we're talking wide receiver tiers part two today. And of course, we have our slides. Of course, you know, I got to bring those out here. And there's another six tiers that we're going to go through. These are more of the wide receiver threes, fours, and fives. We're going to be getting into discussion today. Those guys that are in the back half of your draft that you might want to take a look at and actually draft for your draft season. So, of course, we have some news to talk about. So let's get into that first. All right. So we do have some fantasy news here. There's three things we're going to talk about today on the news. First off, James Robinson is expected to be ready for week one of the season after tearing his ACL late December last year. Now, the big story of the offseason has been Travis Etienne's rise in our fantasy ranks into the third or fourth round of fantasy drafts. And Robinson's kind of been an afterthought, but Robinson hasn't been the one since 2 years ago now that's been uber productive when he's been on the field here. Does this change now that if James Robinson's expected to be ready for week one, does this change your guys' outlook on this backfield?
I think it's just crazy that he's ready to be, he's expected to be ready for week one. I think we need to start changing our timeline of injuries at this point. But yeah, no, it doesn't affect it too much because I always envisioned James Robinson back at some point, and Travis Etienne's work was never going to be super prolific on the ground. It was always through the air that I thought he could have some fantasy value. So it hurts, obviously. It sucks because it would have been great if he was the only guy back there. But, James Robinson being back week one is good for the Jags. It's good for the Jaguars. It should just temper touchdown expectations for ETN.
I'm kind of torn. Like, I was just about to start feeling ETN last couple of weeks as the draft season has been gearing up. But with this, like, recent news, like, I'm kind of, like, torn. Like, I might rather just take James Robinson and get a value pick in the later half of the draft rounds, you know? Like, you're not spending a top four round pick on ETN. Like, I know, like, in certain formats and whatnot, like, he's definitely going to be more valuable in PPR leagues and what. But, whew. Yeah, I think they're both going to play, and they're both going to play a lot.
Yeah, and it's definitely interesting now how this backfield is going to turn out. I mean, we just don't know still, but you'd assume that ETN is going to take a bulk of the passing work, even though they said that James Robinson is a terrific pass blocker. So I don't know what they're going to do here, if they're going to throw these both on the field at the same time and have ETN spread out more. But I would just slightly pump the brakes on the ETN top 48 player breakout here. He's probably more of a top 60 pick here, somewhere you get within the fifth and sixth round pick here, just because you just don't know the touchdown upside. There might be receptions there, which is great for PPR, but if it's half or standard, the touchdowns might not be there as much. They might want to throw in James Robinson because Travis Etienne is so small in stature. So he's a great value right now. If you're drafting right now and you're getting James Robinson in round 10 or later, it could be a very big value for your season. So, all right, before we get into Deshaun Watson, I want to talk about Tom Brady real quick. I just threw Tom Brady in. I just threw his name in there. But are you guys any bit concerned about his absence from camp right now? I mean, we don't know. I mean, he could be back tomorrow for all we know, but there really isn't much to this from the coaching staff. It's like, he'll be back soon. But we just – is it back by the start of the season? Like, are you guys any concerned about taking Tom Brady right now in drafts?
Jibs?
No. I'm not concerned at all. He's probably just working on his contract for Fox right now, you know, like trying to get the bag or wherever sports network he's going to. But I think, like, everything's going to be dandy. I don't think he would have just kind of lead the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on, like – just on read or anything like that. Like, he's going to be playing football. He doesn't want to be in the house with Giselle. Like, he's still going to be a great quarterback that's going to throw for 4,000 plus yards and be one of the top passing touchdown.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not worried about it. I think this is Tom. Tom could walk in week one and be just fine. He doesn't need preseason. He doesn't need practice. It sucks for your ancillary pieces. You'd like to see how they mesh with Tom Brady, your Julio Jones, your Russell Gages, all these other new pieces. You'd like to see how they play with Tom, but Tom himself is going to be fine. And I think he's going to be there sooner rather than later. I think this is just kind of, if it was any other quarterback, it wouldn't be a story. But it's because it's Tom Brady, and he might retire, and he could walk away. All this crazy stuff people are talking about. I think he's coming back. He's fine. Mm-hmm.
I read something that's, you know, he's going through a divorce potentially. But who am I to talk about Tom Brady's personal life?
He's gotta get so much money.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's gonna make he makes less than Joe probably. So
he makes a lot less.
Tom Brady wants that bank.
That's going to be another broadcasting contract for him.
Tom Brady's set for life. All right, so let's talk about the Deshaun Watson news. We didn't do it the first time because we obviously knew the NFL was going to appeal it. But we have a final decision now. I'm pretty sure it's final now. 11 games suspended, $5 million fine. Whether or not it should be longer or not, we're not going to discuss that because we could sit here for hours probably talking about that. But in terms of fantasy right now, obviously, is he not draftable?
No, he's not draftable.
Not draftable. Okay, perfect. That's easy to get it out of the way with here now. Clearly, his return is week 13. He actually misses another week because of the bye week, which sucks. In week 13, he does come back to play the Houston Texans. I feel like they had to do something there to bring him
back. The NFL knew that, right? They knew what they were doing with the suspension. They're not stupid.
Because the game sounds so weird. Like, 12 games
weird. But it sounded weird until I realized I was like, 11 games? That's stupid. And then they were like, oh, he's back against the Texans. I go, that's why, 100%.
That's TV. That's ratings. That's news. There's no way that NFL was going to let that happen for sure if it wasn't a long-term suspension.
Start flexing Monday Night Football to like in week 11 just to get that matchup.
Yeah, probably. So crazy.
All right, so now that we know Deshaun Watson's going to miss the first 11 games this season – where do you guys have Amari Cooper at now? Where is he, you know, is he a top five round pick, top six, top seven round pick now? Is he, how much is he falling for you?
He's in the gutter for me.
Yeah.
I don't want nothing to do with him, Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, he slides quite a bit down the board for me. He's probably not even a top 24 receiver in my mind. Like there's other players, and I love him. And if you're in dynasty formats, maybe now's the time to buy. But if we're in a true redraft, there's other players I'd rather take my shot on than Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, if you're contending, it almost makes sense to buy low on him. And on a dynasty aspect because he'll be back for the playoffs with Watson. So,
yeah.
I feel like he'll be like a low-end wide receiver three for those 11 games.
Yeah, I think that can kind of make sense. Or maybe have two or three really solid performances and everything else will be mediocre at best. So
I just think the game that Cleveland is going to play is going to go through the run game. I think it's just going to go through Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. And until Deshaun Watson's back, they're not going to have Jacoby Brissett throw the ball 30, 40 times a game. So, you know, it's just David Njoku's there for the easy underneath stuff. They'll take a few shots with Amari Cooper every once in a while, but it's not going to be fun. I'll tell you, for the first 11 weeks, it's not going to be fun.
Now, does David Njoku, is he still a late-round tight end to grab in drafts, or is he now kind of just off your guys' radar?
still a late round tight end. Like, you're, no matter what, you're gonna get what you're gonna get. I know, like, his shine has, you definitely lost his shine, but
yeah. He's still a good, yeah, he's still a good late round target. You know, if you're talking him and the Austin Hoopers of the world, it's like, yeah, I'll take my chances on the athleticism of David Njoku.
Okay. I don't hate it. All right. I mean, just so everyone knows, some of Jacoby Brissett's best games that he had in Miami last year, which weren't many, Mike Gesicki did benefit during that time frame. He did have a lot of great games when Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback. So maybe there is still hope for David Njoku to actually be fantasy relevant early on in the season, even without Deshaun Watson on the field. So
that's a nice correlation.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's head over to the actual main topics. The wide receiver tiers, tier 7, the wide receiver 3, flex appeal territory. Now, all right, since we just talked about Amari Cooper, are you taking all these guys over Amari Cooper now?
Ooh. He's probably in this range.
Yeah, I'll put him in here.
He's in the range now. Okay.
Yeah, he's in this ballpark. Like, you know, there's a few problems. Like, Christian Kirk, I'd probably take before him. Drake London, I might take before him. But he's – Ayuk, I might take before him. But he's up there. He's in this wide receiver 3 flex option now.
Gotcha. All right, so let's talk about this group in a whole now. Is there anyone that should and shouldn't be in there outside of, we just talked about Cooper?
No, I think it's a solid tier. Like, I just have, like, slight hesitations with Ayuk in my, like, fantasy belief. Like, I know he came on late last year or whatever, but still, like, he's the third option on a run-first team with a running quarterback. Like, I think it spells for disaster.
Okay. I don't hate it. All right. So let's get into the questions about this tier. We got two for this one. It starts off with Bob Woods. Can Bob Woods still possess wide receiver 2 value? I know we talked about this on the pod-a-thon, those who might have been there. But do you guys believe he can still possess that wide receiver 2 value? Because, I mean, just a year ago, we had him as a wide receiver 11 a couple times, I think, if I'm not mistaken. He was pretty high up there. So can he possess that wide receiver 2 value as the wide receiver 1 on this Titans team?
I think so. I think it's his job to lose until Treylon Burks comes over and starts to dominate. It's Robert Woods. So if you're in that type of mindset where you want to get off to a hot 4 or 5 week start, Robert Woods could be the guy. But my fear is that Treylon Burks eventually comes on and becomes the true number one and Robert Woods becomes the de facto number two. But even then, if you're setting the bar at like a top 24 receiver, he could still do that as the number two target in that offense. So, yeah. I like Robert Woods a lot this year, especially in redraft.
I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah.
Like, I'll definitely take him late round in drafts. Like, he's a phenomenal player, don't get me wrong. And I definitely has a good shot to be a low-end wide receiver, too, in my mind. But, like, you got to also think, like, they had A.J. Brown. You guys know him. He's on my team now. But he had one phenomenal year where he was wide receiver 9 and 10 in PPR. I was thinking 2020. And then his rookie year was definitely phenomenal for rookie standards. And last year was kind of hogwash because he was injured and whatnot. But A.J. Brown did that on so low volume, and he was super efficient with his targets. He scored a lot of touchdowns. And if Robert Woods doesn't score touchdowns, I kind of find it hard to believe that he'll be able to put up wide receiver 2 numbers. That's my only fear with it. Because you see, like, A.J. Brown in 2020, he scored 10 touchdowns. He scored, I think, 8 his rookie year. And last year, he only had a couple. But it's all going to come down to the touchdowns, in my opinion, with Robert Woods.
Yeah. I mean, it's fair. And to be honest, touchdowns are going to be hard to come by. Because when they get down into the 5, it's hard to not just say, oh, yeah, here you go, Derrick Henry. Just jam it in for us.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. And Julio, and A.J. Brown he only had 1,060-yard receiver both of those 2 years where he was phenomenal. So I don't think Robert Woods is breaking that mark on a run first team.
Yeah.
That's true. Like I said, my only thing with, and I'm on your side, Jibs, a little bit here. I'm a little hesitant with Bob Woods, is that it depends on where he plays at. Because Ryan Tannehill has always been good with slot wide receivers. A.J. Brown's played in the slot a ton of times over his career in Tennessee. He's flirted with a top 30, you know, season in terms of slot snaps. But Treylon Burks, if he really steps up and plays in slot more, that they're mentioning at times this offseason, Bob Woods might be playing on the outside, and Ryan Tannehill really hasn't done very well again with outside wide receivers. I mentioned Julio last year when he was healthy. I've seen him back in Miami when Devontae Parker was there with him. It wasn't ever a great situation, so my only concern is that, but we'll see. All right, let's go over to the next question. Kadarius Toney, can he have a breakout season this coming year?
It's going to be hard with Daniel Jones. It's how much do you believe in Daniel Jones? I think Kadarius Toney's a talented player. I think he's got all the talent in the world, but I don't know if Daniel Jones is really, you know, that guy. So I like him, but I think we do need to temper expectations for this, like, major breakout. I just don't think there's going to be this, like, otherworldly where you need him every week type of breakout. I think he could have a good season and be just shy of 1,000 yards.
I think it could happen. I think the chances of it happening is pretty good chance. But the only thing I have to say about Toney is, like, yeah, he's talented. I totally forgot about Daniel Jones being his quarterback and all. But, like, they seem to mesh up, and good things happen when he's on the field. But can he stay on the field? Like, he hasn't stayed on the field when he was a rookie. He had injury problems while he was in Florida. So, like, there's concerns. So if he's on the field, I think he could be a definite breakout candidate late in drafts that you get round 7 and beyond.
Yeah, he's definitely someone, if he goes in the double-digit rounds, I'm intrigued to go after because of what the offense is. I mean, who knows what the passing offense will look like if Daniel Jones doesn't stay healthy. I love Tyrod Taylor, but he's never been a great guy to consistently bring up fantasy numbers at this age now. But, I mean, Toney is probably, at this point, the most talented wide receiver they have on their team. So if he can stay healthy, that's a major concern. He has an opportunity to break out. Personally, I do believe that. I'm not gonna draft him too high for that potential opportunity. I'm gonna wait for him to drop and draft, and hopefully I'll snag him at that point. So,
yeah.
All right. So let's move on to tier 8 now, guys. Tier 8, borderline wide receiver 3, bench first players off your bench, whatever you want to call it. I know these wide receiver tiers are kind of harder to do. But this tier includes Russell Gage, Chase Claypool, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Julio Jones. So does anyone not belong or do belong?
Nah, these guys all have some question marks attached to them. So I think they're perfectly fitted with each one another.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're making my job easy today. I love it. All right. So first question, Russell Gage or Julio Jones?
Oh. Well, I'm going to cheat that. I'm going to go
around 10 for you. It might be the time to take one of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the chalk answer. It definitely depends on your format, and it definitely depends on your team's construction. If you have, like, a lot of upside players so far, you definitely want to have a little bit of safety, and I probably would take Gage. But we've seen Julio. He's been nice 10 years. He's been nice. And we know what he can do. We saw what AB could do. And I don't even think they have to. AB ran, it wasn't like he was running high snap percentage, probably 60%. I think Julio can manage that for a season, but you never know. He could be week 3 and Julio's not practicing because he's getting the veteran days off. And then week 4, he has a hamstring injury. And then guess what? You're looking for another receiver. So definitely torn, but I'm shooting for the upside this year. Give me that Julio, baby.
Yeah. I'm the same. I would probably take Julio Jones because Julio Jones to me feels like one of those guys that if he gets off to a hot start, you can trade him away for a boatload. So if he comes out week 1, week 2 and has some, you know, 80 yards and a touchdown and all of a sudden people are like, you can spin this narrative of Julio Jones is back. And so I would take that for that trade value. Russell Gage is not this. He's never going to be this sexy trade piece where Julio Jones could all of a sudden net you, you know, a decent player coming back. And you're like, oh, thanks. This was a free ad in the 10th round.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go off the consensus here. I'm going to go Russell Gage. So honestly, to me, I just feel like at the end of the day, when it comes down to consistency, I think Russell Gage will be that guy. I don't think Julio will end up being. I'm not a super big fan of the Julio to Tampa thing. I don't know if it's going to work out to what it's going to be. For one, the injury is a big concern for me. He's not like Antonio Brown when Antonio Brown was coming over. Antonio Brown's a different type of wide receiver. Julio Jones has been dealing with foot injuries his entire career, and kind of his biggest thing is to be able to stretch the field, go deep. And I just don't know if he has enough has enough health in his life yet to continue to do that long term during the season here. I feel like he'll have a couple games where he might go off for two touchdowns, but I think Russell Gage, I think, ends up seeing the consistent workload for this Tampa Bay team. All right, over to the next one. A realistic season for Chase Claypool is.
Oh man, a realistic with yes. with the quarterbacks situation is. I mean, it's hard to really pick like what could happen, but. I think if everything goes right and they find this connection, he could be a 1,000-yard double like he was his rookie year, 1,000-yard double digit touchdown guy. I think that's in the world of outcomes. If everything goes right and the quarterback play is up there, if both quarterbacks stink, which could definitely happen, Mitch Trubisky, we know who he is, and Kenny Pickett, we don't know, but he could stink just as bad. Then they could be in trouble. But if they have some good quarterback play, there's no reason why he shouldn't be. 1,000 like his rookie year, he was very propped up on touchdowns, but in the red zone he's got that playmaking ability that he can be propped up on touchdowns.
Yes. I'm pessimistic with that whole Steelers approach. I think personally they're gonna lose some passing volume, obviously, from Big Ben's like little chucking and duck it kind of pray and approach, but and they're going to run a little bit more, give a little bit more to Najee Harris. So I kind of see it being like what he's done over the last 2 years. You said 1,000 yards, John. I think he had 860 yards and 873 yards his first 2 years, which is good. The touchdowns, that's all it is. I'm not too sure about the touchdowns being there. So I think he's going to have the same year where he's a wide receiver, low-end wide receiver 3.
So. Okay. I guess
first case, wide receiver 4. I'm not a believer.
I think it's more of a wide receiver 4 personally. I mean, I just don't see him, I don't see him getting 100 targets again this season. He had it last year and the year before, but I think George Pickens is going to make an impact on this team, whether we like it or not. I think I just don't expect him to see very many very accurate balls thrown his way too often, and I don't expect this team to score a ton. And I feel like if they do get to the red zone somehow, I believe they will use Najee Harris as much as possible in that situation here. So, I mean, 700 yards, 4 touchdowns. That's kind of what I'm banking on his season kind of be for, wide receiver 4 year, where he'll have a couple big boom weeks, but he'll probably disappoint more weeks than not.
Yeah, I mean it's hard. It's so hard to predict because we haven't seen the Steelers without Big Ben for a better part of 15 years. So it's just going to be interesting what this offense looks like. The Steelers are one of the more curious cases to me in this offseason because it's hard to lose a franchise player and then, what do you do? It's like, what do you do now? And so it's going to be interesting this next season.
Right, definitely. We'll see how it works. All right, on to tier 9, wide receiver 4 range. This tier has Treylon Burks, Jarvis Landry, Tyler Boyd, MBS, Devontae Parker, Mecole Hardman, Kenny G, DJ Chark, Michael Gallup, and Jakobi Meyers. Solid bench wide receivers that provide a floor play. All these guys are floor plays, mostly, I would say. So does anyone belong or not belong in this tier here?
Kenny Galladay and DJ Chark don't scream floor to me. That's a bust, baby, all the way.
I agree with both of those and Treylon Burks too. I don't know if Treylon Burks is floor. He feels like he could be more boom to me. He's boom or bust to me too, where it's like either he's going to break out or I don't see him working out at all.
I'm excited.
But I think the players within this group would definitely be like kind of similar to each other like at the season long, but I guess in me and John's case, we might just throw those two guys. I don't know about Burks because obviously he's a rookie, but I'll definitely put Chark and Galladay below some of these guys.
Yeah.
I respect it. All right, so let's go over the questions here. And New England Patriot wide receivers here, Devontae Parker and Jakobi Meyers. Which one of these guys would you prefer in fantasy?
I need to look something up.
Yes, John.
Cheaper, Steve.
I think Devontae Parker's probably cheaper. If I had to guess, without even looking up ADP, I'd have to guess Devontae Parker is cheaper. But I would take Devontae Parker because I think Devontae Parker has that X receiver profile, whereas Jakobi Meyers is more of that slot receiver, short yardage type of play. If Mac Jones does develop and take a step forward, which reports out of camp is that Mac looks great, and he develops this deeper connection, this midfield deep connection with Devontae Parker, we could be really shocked with, you know, what's going on. I mean, Devontae Parker is not a bad player. He's a really good talent. He's just had a tough career.
So there's a 40 spot difference. Jacoby Myers is 181 and Devontae Parker is 144.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. Can I switch my take? Jacoby Myers is a safe, great late round pick. Yeah.
No. That's like a last round darling for you. I think I'm still going to be with Parker, though. Like, I don't know. Is what's going on with Aguilar? I saw he's getting traded. He's not getting traded.
I wouldn't worry about Nelson Aguilar. He's
probably going to get cut. So, anyway, like, Steve, I've been watching the Dolphins for quite some time, just like yourself. And Devontae Parker has been good when he's healthy. Like, I know he hasn't gotten much of a fair route in the Dolphins, but I think he could definitely take over that role, be more consistent, not just like a deep threat like Nelson Aguilar was. And obviously, like, Devontae Parker definitely has a touchdown track record. Jacoby Myers played 2 years in the league, scored his first two touchdowns last year. And he only had one red zone target for a touchdown on 14 attempts. So it's just not really looking good. Like, the real question I would like to ask between these two is, like, will the wide receivers be more involved this year in the red zone? Because it was just the Hunter Henry show when they got down there, or the running backs. So that's going to kind of cap their upside, but I'm going to still take Parker.
I mean, you can hope that they get more involved. I think I'm still taking Jacoby Myers overall. It's just when it comes to health, Devontae Parker scares the shit out of me. He has been consistent when he's healthy, but him being healthy is a major factor for me at the end of the day here. And I hate to say, like, oh, this is because he's been injury prone, like, I'm not going to take him. But Jacoby Myers is getting the targets underneath, likely. The touchdowns are definitely concerns. But I'll take the consistent low-floor production that Jacoby Myers gives, at least, than the couple high weeks Devontae Parker might give and then get hurt. So
I might switch my take. It's cold up in New England.
It is a little cold in New England now.
It is a little cold.
All right. Over to the next grouping of wide receiver people here. MVS or Mecole Hardman?
I mean, the camp reports about Mecole have been great lately, but I think it's going to be Juju and MVS in two wide receiver sets. So give me MVS because I think he'll just get more snaps.
Well, didn't the report come out that Hardman got hurt?
He got a little banged up, yeah.
A little groin issue or something. Neither.
Great option. Neither one is a great option, to be honest.
Like, we've been trying to figure out this second wide receiver for the Chiefs for like the last 3 years, and at the end of the day, they all are interchangeable. So, like, it could be MVS 1 week, it could be Hardman. Kind of, they're both are fast. Like, maybe you want to give. Well, I really can't say you give it to Hardman because, like, he's been in the offense for years, but, like, the offense has changed since Tyreek Hill's loss. But we also have seen Mecole Hardman been good when Tyreek hasn't been on the field. So, like, there's, like, different things you want to pull at it. But personally, I'm not looking at any of these two in drafts.
I mean, I'm not touching a Kansas City wide receiver until round 12. If there's one there around 12 and I want to take the upside, then absolutely. I'm not touching Juju at his value currently right now. And if one of these guys are here or Sky Moore is here at the time where I want to draft, I will just randomly pick and say, I want at least one Kansas City wide receiver. We'll see who it is, because there's really been no indication that anyone is really outperforming anyone else. Maybe we'll see it this week in preseason, see who plays when and how much someone plays with the first team offense if they play. But I would pick probably MVS if I had to pick one, but I would prefer not to touch any of these Chiefs wide receivers at any time during the season or during the drafts. All right. Let's get over to round 10, tier 10. Wide receiver, double-digit wide receivers with upside. Sky Moore, Christian Watson, Rondale Moore, George Pickens, Jameson Williams, Jalen Tolbert, Jahan Dotson, Van Jefferson, Alec Pierce. I think it's a C, not an X, but sorry, Alex. Alec Pierce. This one is strictly about wide receivers. Which of these two young wide receivers, I know that two people aren't young rookies, but which of these two young wide receivers would you want to pick?
Oh, man, I'm a sucker for rookies. Give me George Pickens right now. The camp hype's been amazing, and he's showed out. And then I'll take Jahan Dotson as well, to be honest with you. I like Jahan Dotson, thinking that, I mean, he was the 17th overall pick or 18th or something like that. It's like no joke, the draft capital that he has, and he showed out at camp too. So I think there's upside there. Not that I'm in love with his quarterback situation, but you know, there is still playmaking ability and good, you know, yak. So give me Pickens and Jahan Dotson.
I had Dotson as well.
That's fine. You can pick him too.
No, yeah, but like now I'm kind of split because like I totally forgot about George Pickens' little day over the weekend.
Oh, he had a day. He had a great day.
Yeah. So I guess for to give like a third consideration, I'll take maybe Jalen Tolbert. I don't want to like say Sky Moore just because of my previous statement. I just don't know who that third or second wide receiver on the Chiefs is going to be. But I know Jalen Tolbert with Gallup's injury and lack of weapons in Dallas could be like a shoe-in for some production if he kind of keeps it up in camp. And we'll see on Saturday or Sunday if he's playing some meaningful snaps.
Right. I have one thing real quick. Jameson Williams, guys, he's only in here because of ADP, but please do not draft him. He's like playing until November, so unless you have an IR spot and you want to burn it on him, then please don't draft him. So the two guys I pick is Jalen Tolbert would definitely be my one. I like not one, but one of my two. I do like him a lot. I think he will fit in this Cowboys offense really well, especially with, you know, CeeDee Lamb's recent foot injury he just had. He got a little caught in his foot. But someone needs to take targets in this offense here. And behind Dalton Schultz and CeeDee Lamb, there's really no one else at the moment. With Michael Gallup banged up and James Washington out, Jalen Tolbert is going to see targets in this offense early on, and I think his speed should make him very productive for fantasy. And then the other one is Alec Pierce, the guy whose name I got wrong. He is lighting it up in camp. He is looking fantastic as a deep man threat here. Hopefully the upgrade, you know, for this Colts quarterback and Matt Ryan will be able to keep him afloat in this offense here. That's my only concern, is that Michael Pittman is a guy everyone loves, and I love him just as much. But Alec Pierce could end up having a pretty good season that no one's going to be talking about, and he's definitely going in those later 14, 15-round draft picks that you could get. And, again, they're going to have to eventually throw the ball at times. You can't just rely on Jonathan Taylor constantly. Alec Pierce is definitely somebody I'm targeting in my later-round drafts this year.
Yeah, that's a great one. I mean, he's probably he's another one that – you know, he's probably the number two or three target in that offense. As much as we all love George Pickens, he's definitely the number three or four target in that offense. So, you know, unless there is he emerges as some crazy breakout, Alec Pierce should see more targets than him, and they're going to be valuable deep targets.
Right. Absolutely. Something to say, Gips?
I don't know.
You don't know? Colts,
I don't know. The Colts seem to, like, chop it up pretty, like, it's like one main guy and then they chop it up, tight ends included. So, like, but to your point, Steve, like, everything you said, like, it's definitely great points. Like, I'm definitely in more consideration to get me some Alec Pierce late in drafts because, like, it's definitely, I've seen great things about him. And there's definitely lack of a second legit option. Sorry, Zach Pascal. Zach Pascal's probably gone, but yeah, I don't know. It's definitely upgraded quarterback, so we should be seeing something better for that Colts offense. More consistent, maybe more touchdowns.
Okay. All right, let's head over to the last tier of the night, guys. Tier 11. This tier has Romeo Doubs, Odell Beckham, Corey Davis, Wandale Robinson, Sammy Watkins, Robbie Anderson, Joshua Palmer, Marvin Jones, KJ Hamler, KJ Osborne, and Nico Collins. This is basically the last probably tier of players that get drafted in most drafts at this point. All right, so does anyone belong, not belong in this area?
Odell Beckham, I don't know if he belongs. Just because, like, you don't have a team, you were injured, you're probably not going to be ready until at least November, December. Like, I'm not drafting Odell. You know, even if word came out tomorrow that he signed with the Rams, like, maybe with my last pick, I'd consider it. But without a team and coming off an injury, he's off my board.
Well, that answers our first question, actually. Jibs, real quick, before you go.
That's the same thing. Nope, not drafting him.
Not drafting Odell either. Let him sit on waivers.
Where's Landry at? I'd rather draft Landry than freaking Beckham.
He was a couple rounds ago.
He was?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get an Isaiah McKenzie?
Zay McKenzie is a good one.
There you go. Boom. Bang.
Boom. Put him on the board.
That would be the last four here. Am I missing anyone? Yeah, Zay McKenzie should definitely be considered in a late round pick now. He belongs in this tier. I like that even better. I love that even better. The slot receiver for Buffalo has been great always. So I do like that. All right. So let's go over to the first question here. Let's see here. Do you guys like Nico Collins? Can he succeed as the wide receiver two in this offense that really don't have anyone outside of Brandon Cooks?
I do. I like Nico. I mean, I liked him as a prospect. You know, he profiled as a big-bodied ex-receiver. He was never going to be this, like, flashy, fast route runner that you expected. But he's a good contested catch, 50-50 ball guy. So I think Nico is going to have a role opposite Brandon Cooks because they complement each other very well. I just don't know how much the wide receiver two for the Texans is really, especially if you're going to be a possession receiver, you know, kind of catch and fall kind of guy. I don't know how much your really value is going to be unless you score a ton of touchdowns, which I don't predict the Texans scoring a lot of touchdowns.
I think he could have some value. Like, I know Davis Mills didn't start the whole slate last year, and I think the Texans would be way more comfortable in here in year two. So I think the passing volume could go up, maybe give him a little bit of opportunity to get to the 80 target mark if possible in a good chance scenario. But still, like John said, it's not really anything to brag about. Like, he still has to make good production on that, and it's not going to be consistent for me unless you're in a super deep league. I'm talking like 14 teams and up for you to like kind of hit on a guy like this late in drafts. But I'm sure we're gonna be running to him in a waiver wire week in the middle of the season because there's gonna be a bye Nato and we're gonna need someone to start, and I'm telling you, Nico Collins is probably gonna be on the top of that list. Steve is on the phone. So.
Oh, all right. Well, no worries. Listen, I think the other name I want to talk about, and I hope there is a question about him, but if there isn't, I'm going to talk about him anyway, is KJ Osborne. Because I think KJ Osborne is the type of guy, late round, they're going to throw this ball 600 times. They're going to throw this ball in Minnesota. So, you know, he's a burner. He's a fast guy. Justin Jefferson's obviously going to do whatever he needs and get a million targets, but Adam Thielen is on the back nine of his career. If all of a sudden KJ Osborne breaks out and sees 80, 90 targets, are we all going to be shocked? Like, I mean, it would be crazy, but health is a concern with him. So I'll take KJ Osborne super late.
Oh, I'll definitely take him too. Like, he's in great consideration. If they're Kevin O'Connell's definitely gonna get that offense in line. Like, we saw the Rams use three wide receivers and they all seem to be serviceable. Cook, I don't know if he was in there, but like still Cup Woods, et cetera, Van Jefferson. And like, even if he gives me a Van Jefferson year, I'll be grateful where I'm getting him at in drafts. But we also seen him be quite a pretty productive player, scoring, we'll say, like 6 for 60 and a touchdown late in the season last year. So
yeah,
there's some case for him, and like I'm definitely intrigued with him, definitely with the Adam Thielen injury risk. And yeah, you never know how the running backs go out there, so he's definitely gonna get some production.
All right, I love that, guys. Thank you for keeping me alive here. I had a work phone call I had to make. So my last question of the night, Marvin Jones Jr. plays for the Jaguars, as we already know that, and he's been productive over his career here now. Do you guys consider him a nice deep sleeper to target in drafts?
I don't mind Marvin Jones. Like, I kind of picked him as a wide receiver, probably be my wide receiver three last year in one of my three wide receiver leagues. And like, I know he wasn't consistent, or it was pretty hard to choose when he had his boom games and whatnot. But I still believe in that rapport that he's gonna have with Trevor Lawrence. I know they brought Christian Kirk on the scene and they love Zay Jones, but he's a big receiver. He's definitely a touchdown, a guy who's give you a touchdown. So like, if you want to go for some, I wouldn't say upside, but like more of like a touchdown score late in the drafts, I think you should choose Marvin Jones.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm kind of off Marvin Jones. I think I would, in this tier, I'd rather like Rondale Robinson. I'd rather some of these other younger that could really break out. Marvin Jones to me is never, he's not going to break out and be this. He is what he is, and we know what he is. He could have touchdowns, certainly. He could have some touchdown upside. He could hit a big play here or there. But I just don't think, you know, you're really going to – they're going to lean on Marvin Jones going forward. It's going to be Christian Kirk. You know, it could be the tight ends. It could be the running backs. It's just going to be, you know, the third or fourth target for Jacksonville, to me, doesn't excite me. Whereas Wandale Robinson could be the second target, third target in the Giants. So it's just a little bit more interesting, but not – much. I just, you know, wide receiver four, if at the end of the year Marvin Jones is a wide receiver three, great, but he will never boom into this other stratosphere.
All right. You guys make some great points on that. I love it. All right, is there anyone else that I'm missing that we should mention tonight?
It's a homer pick, but I'm gonna say Tyquan Thornton. I just think there's something there. This fast, this speed. It's not often that the Patriots get a fast wide receiver that can really burn you downfield. And I know Mac Jones is not the best deep ball guy, but if all of a sudden he does evolve into his game a little bit, which he could do, and become a better deep ball thrower, there's a world where Tyquan Thornton has a couple boom weeks, and you're like, oh shoot, this guy's just sitting on my waiver wire, and he just put up, you know, six for 100 and a score. And you're like, oh, okay, awesome.
All right. Jibs, anyone?
Have McKenzie.
All right, I like it. All right. I mean, early on, if you want maybe potential success, maybe AJ Green. I mean, we know that Hollywood and Rondo there, but, you know, they haven't really been the most, you know, profound wide receivers. AJ Green has a history of doing well, and he played well enough last year that maybe he could get some success in the early part of the season, unless instead of the late part of the season that he kind of fell apart in. So maybe that early on success without DeAndre Hopkins can help him. So, all right, that's going to wrap us up tonight, guys. That was our wide receivers tiers part two series. We are finished with the wide receivers here now, guys. I'll let you guys sign off first, and then I'll finish everything up. John, what do you got?
I got nothing. Thank you. Check out www.thefantasycoaches.com. I know it's heating up. There's a lot of articles. There's a lot of podcasts going out there. It's redraft season, baby. Like, now is the time to do your homework. Get ready, because you're going to be able to brag to your friends for 365 days that you're the champ. But yes, it takes a little bit of work. So now's the time to put in that work.
All right. Love it. Jibs?
God bless you. Don't draft bust.
Love it. Don't draft bust. I love it. All right, guys. So we thank you guys for listening. Coach John said most of what I had to say, but thank you for that this week, because I am kind of tired right now. As always, go check out our website at you said the website, right? Go check out our Twitter at Coaches Fantasy. It's in my brain. Coaches Fantasy for all of our updates, for all of our great content that we'll be posting on the website. And we'll be back next Monday to talk about wide receiver, talk about quarterback tiers, guys, and we'll be back for that. So until then, guys, thanks for listening, and have a great one.
The bag is not far-fetched, we got a couple of clock hands. I've been feeling super duper, how the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser, grass is green like Cooper Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this, in fact I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act into acting. Like boom, running like zoom, the highest and mighty has entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes, all players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed and these are the facts, I keep it 100 like I'm running track. I listen up Jack, I'ma head back to the blowing that, go.